Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Good Tuesday afternoon. Welcome into Grant and Danny. We are with you on The Fan live from our Half Street studios in the Navy Yard in D.C. And we'll take you all the way up to 6:30 this evening. We've got our fastest 16 minutes to take you around the NFL at 3. We're giving away Leonard Skinner tickets at 4 ahead of the Beltway Blitz. And Bill stops by. Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt is on the show today at 5 o'clock. Lots to get into. Danny, I'd like to wish you a happy Hard Knocks Day.
Day.
For the first time in team history, the Washington Commanders will be featured on Hard Knocks tonight. Not what I would have envisioned, what I always dreamed about. They are sharing the spotlight with three other teams in the division. The NFC East takes center stage on Hard Knocks tonight. And, of course, the Commanders are on the precipice of being eliminated from the playoffs, despite it only being December 2nd in a nightmare injury-riddled season. Having said that, I will not look this gift horse in the mouth.
Mm.
Tonight is the night, people. Hard Knocks, Commanders style.
It's not what it could have been, and we all know that. Everyone's aware. And with all due respect to this disaster of a season at 3-9, it's not the biggest train wreck going in the division. That's the Giants, man. They've already had a coach fired. The GM deserves to be fired, should have been fired multiple times over multiple years, and hasn't been. They're a disaster. Everybody's hurt all the time. The reason for excitement for them is hurt. I know Washington's got their own injuries, too, and they're probably the most disappointing team in the NFL this year, given the fact they were the NFC Championship representative last year, or in that championship game, and have fallen so short, among the worst records ever for a team in a conference championship the following season. They're on pace for that. The Giants are a bigger train wreck. They're not terribly interesting talking about Washington to the masses, maybe. But for us, any morsel is a good morsel. It's not the feast I was promised, but it's still a nice little meal.
Well, sadly, they're the number four most interesting team, to your point, because the Eagles maybe carry the show in this first episode with all of their drama and them being leaders. Dallas is the Kardashians of the NFL.
But they're honestly pretty interesting. I mean, they've ripped off wins against Super Bowl champion and runner-up over a couple weeks, playing great football after being terrible for a while. Jerry Jones is patting himself on the back. They're pretty compelling.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, it's a fascinating team, and they're hard-charging, and they've got an MVP candidate at quarterback in Dak Prescott, who's playing lights out, and two superstar receivers, and they have had the best calendar week of anybody in the league, to your point. And then you've got the Giants, who have a rookie quarterback who's taking big hits and have an interim head coach. And they've got a top five pick who's multiple times over now, not gotten to start games because he's missing meetings. So there's not only them being bad and them firing people and a GM who's coaching for his job, or I guess in this case, executive-ing for his job, decision-making for his job. But yeah, so the Commanders are kind of fourth of the four teams. I hope it's not reflected in terms of time on screen in that way. I hope it's pretty evenly distributed for us. But 9 East time tonight, the debut of Hard Knocks on HBO. Anything interesting Commanders-wise, we'll discuss on the show tomorrow. Speaking of the Giants, Monday Night Football last night to wrap up Week 13. The Patriots just destroyed New York, 33-15. Here's the one issue I have with all of the down-talking New England, which is mostly accurate. They have had a very easy schedule, bit of a paper tiger, have only played a couple of good teams. Really, there's two problems. One, they beat the teams that are good that they played.
Yep.
Both of them, including the team everyone thought was going to handle them pretty easily in the Bills at that time. So that's the number one issue, is when they've played good teams, they've beaten them. But the number two issue is, it's not like most of the time, Danny, that they just win by a field goal as they're playing these bad teams. They beat the Giants by 18. They beat the Jets by 2 touchdowns. They beat the Browns 32-13, the Titans 31-13. They have a 42-13 win over the Carolina Panthers. Like, they have mostly been dominant. They're good defensively. They can run the ball. Drake May's the favorite for the MVP. He's the most accurate passer in the league. He's been fantastic. They've got the coach of the year on their sideline in Mike Vrabel. Other than that, they got some questions.
Yeah, this is a really good club. And people that knock, you, all you've done is beat bad teams. Okay, if you were doing what the Broncos were doing each and every week, where you come back against the Browns, come back against the Titans, eke out a win against a Burrow-less Cincinnati Bengals team, I'd go, okay, there's some credence to that. But since they started 1-2, losing in week one to the Raiders, which, by the way, how laughable does that seem now, right? Just kind of given everything that's happened.
They'd like to play that one again.
I bet you they would. And frankly, not being terribly effective against the Steelers in week three. They, again, did not look good in that game.
Turned the ball over 5 times, including 3 times, I think, inside the 10, twice at the goal line.
Since then, you don't have to make a big list to find where they rank in the NFL. Like, that's, you don't want to say they're one, that's fine. Call them 2, call them 3, 4, 5, whatever. Point is, they've handled their business. They've been really, really good.
Here's the other point. When you win 9 in a row, as Joe Gibbs would say, up here, when you win 9 in a row in the NFL, I don't really care that much who you played. Now, I will acknowledge, yes, they are not as good as a team that has had a tougher schedule doing what they've done. And you can poke holes in what they've done because their schedule is crazy easy. As a team projected to win 7.5 games coming into the year, I mention this stat all the time because I thought it was just wild. On look-ahead lines, when you can see before the season starts, like every week's betting line, they were favored in 11 games,
yep,
which is asinine. I mean, that's just a ridiculous thing for a team projected to win 7.5 games. But there's still this element of 9 straight wins in this league. You see it all the time. The Commanders just almost beat the Broncos. Every week, a really good team loses to a really bad team. The Packers, as an example, have lost as 13-point favorites multiple times this year to Cleveland, who the Patriots blew out, and to Carolina, who the Patriots blew out. They have not played down, so they should get some credit for that. The other thing I'll say is, we know what this is like. Washington last year, all year, didn't beat any good teams. Regular season-wise, they won 12 games. And everyone wanted me to apologize for that around football, and I wasn't going to. I don't apologize for winning. Sorry, not happening. But guess what happened when they got to the playoffs as this quote-unquote fraud who hadn't played anybody? They go out and they beat the Bucs on the road because Jaden Daniels was really good. I mean, there were other things that happened in that game, but that was part of the reason.
Biggest reason.
Then you go to Detroit and everyone says, oh, this team, are you kidding me? They haven't beaten anybody. They lucked out last week against Tampa Bay. They won against a division winner that stinks from the NFC South. And what'd they do? They went to Detroit and they whooped the Lions' ass. So there's something to, yeah, they might not be as good as a normal 11-2 team is. It's still really hard to get to 11-2.
Yeah, they're not a 6-10 team, I'll tell you that.
Really hard to win 9 straight, and when the playoffs start, none of that matters. Does their defense play like it has? Does Drake May play like he has? Because they can make noise if that is the case.
Without a doubt. You have to be above a certain threshold to do this. And I think that's the most important point. Like, you look at their defense, and as you said, it's pretty good. Now, they haven't shoved it on the elite offenses in the sport because they haven't had a chance to play them yet. But you've got to be above a certain level, whatever you want to call that, to be able to do what they did to bad offenses, right? Where you don't let the Titans breathe. You give the Browns no chance, the Falcons no chance, the Jets no chance, the Giants no chance. Again, I'm not saying those offenses are any good, but how many times have you seen it? You mentioned Green Bay. It took a fourth quarter miracle, great, unbelievable hero work for Green Bay to eke out the Giants. The Giants were never in that football game last night. Because New England is good enough to not play with their food, to whack them and make it done early on in that ballgame. And you got to look up and down. I mean, obviously, Drake May is unbelievable. Josh McDaniels is the kind of quintessential, he should always be an offensive coordinator. No one should ever hire him as a head coach ever again. But he's now kind of above grade as a really, really excellent OC living in New England. He's home there.
He is a fantastic play caller.
So you've got that going in the perfect situation in Storm. Mike Vrabel, the culture builder, the definitive guy. That's the dude I wanted from Jump Street. I can't believe the league said no to him last year. That's insane to me, even still, just watching this happen, as you said. The front runner, if not the favorite, to be the coach of the year this year. You watch this renaissance with a couple good free agent moves. You know, a lot of people said, what are you doing with Stephon Diggs? That makes no sense. Early on, not a great start for him. Now that he got his sea legs after that knee injury, you know, I'm not saying he's the same Stephon Diggs that he was in Minnesota going for 1,500 yards. It doesn't have to be. They got everything going. They got everything that you need to beat anybody in this league.
Well, it's simple. When you have a coach who's considered to have one of the best seasons, coach of the year candidate, and a quarterback in the MVP conversation, you're going to win double-digit games and you're going to make the playoffs. We saw it here last year.
Yeah.
When Daniels was back in top five, I don't know where he finished, top seven in the MVP hunt, and Dan Quinn did what Mike Vrabel's doing this year with a soft schedule, coming in after a coach who just didn't have it before him and changing the culture pretty quickly. Guess what? You get to click your heels three times like Dorothy, and you win double-digit games. We'll see. Coming up in the next couple of weeks, New England's about to get their stiffest tests of the year out of their bye week. Whether or not they can actually become the one seed and have a bye to kick off the playoffs, because that'd be a huge deal for them. Plus, if you have teams come outdoors to New England playing in the cold, maybe in the snow and in the wind, that would be a potential game changer as well. So some really important football coming up for them. A few storylines from last night's game I wanted to hit on the Giants side of things. Jackson Dart comes back from missing two games with a concussion. And the week leading up to this game with Giants media was spent on basically this idea that he needs to take fewer big hits. And in the first few minutes of the game, he took two massive shots, including one on the sideline. I was just reminded of the Robert Griffin days.
Yep.
Where we used to talk about how this guy is not protecting himself, doesn't really have interest in protecting himself. And I remember as soon as he got to Cleveland, I don't remember the, you know, whether it was preseason, regular season, but I remember this play where like he was on the sideline and he did exactly what Dart did, where he's like skirting up for two or three more yards. And he just got destroyed. And Dart, after the game, is defending it. This isn't soccer. This is how I've always played. Anyone who's ever watched me at every level knows this is who I am. That's not what you should be saying.
And make it not who you are. Pretty easy.
Pretty obvious that he's not getting the message. But he got completely rocked by Christian Ellis on what I thought was a clean hit on the sideline.
Yeah. You want to put yourself in the Lions pit, don't be surprised you get bit. That's what it was. This was a try to, you know, the try to fire your team up, tough guy, lower the shoulder, out in space, get the extra couple of yards like you're a running back trying to, quote, finish the run. That's folly. That's stupid.
I love that the league is cracking down on this, too, because I thought it was so unfair that defenders were expected to kind of pull up when the quarterback is, and it's Mahomes does this all the time, but there are other guys. The big ones, Josh Allen, do this, too. But, like, that get to the sideline, and now I'm just going to get two more and reach the ball out. Oh, wait, you're not hitting me? Because you're afraid of a flag? Well, then I'll get three or four more. And they were doing this constantly. And I think what has happened is the league has said, it's already too hard for you guys. We totally get it. They went to teams. They sent a memo out this offseason and said, quarterbacks, if you are still on the grass, even if angling out of bounds, we will not protect you. You get out or don't. But this gray area, which used to be a flag, is not going to be anymore.
You said it. Mahomes was literally special at this. And they got so well drilled in Kansas City where he's angling out of bounds. His right foot, just for the sake of argument, if he's heading right, is in the air. Most of his body's out of bounds, but he's, quote, still in. He gets touched at all. The instantaneous, the sideline going crazy, begging for the flag. Right there, the official who's on the scene is listening to a coach, 15 players, 9 coordinators, the get-back coach, Mahomes himself. The lobbying over all those years worked. It was like Krzyzewski at Duke back in the day, lobbying for charges, right, so they could beat North Carolina. And that's what happened, and it became the norm. If anybody's near the sideline showing that they're going to go out of bounds, you get hit, you got the flag. I'm so glad for that course correction. I'm with you.
You can get out earlier.
Yep.
Or you're going to get rocked, and they're going to let you get rocked in that situation. They'll protect you in the pocket. They'll protect you when you're sliding in the middle of the field. But if you are putting a defender in a bind by trying to use the flag against them, they're wising up to that. This was Dart talking about taking not only that shot, but others in the game coming back from a two-game break with a concussion.
No. Look, like, I understand the question. But, like, this is football. Like, I'm going to get hit if I'm in the pocket or outside the pocket. Like, it's, I don't, like, I feel like I've played this way my whole entire life. It shouldn't be like any shocker to anybody if you've followed along with my career. And we're not playing soccer out here. Like, you're going to get hit. Things happen. It's part of the game.
So I do love the, we're not playing soccer out here. And this is a dog. Like, this is why he's popular in the locker room. I think it was, who was it? Was it Aikman last night that compared him to Jim McMahon? And he said basically,
that's actually a great comp.
It is. But he said his entire team feeds off of how he plays. It's a hard thing. I understand. I'm sitting here as a fat in this chair telling you how to play football, this fast, violent game. And your teammates feed off of this element of you that gets you in trouble, too. It's complicated. This is a really narrow runway to land this plane on, but he's got to do better. And it's clear to me that mentally he's not in the right spot yet because he's still so defensive of even the idea that he should not have taken that hit. The craziest moment last night happened on a field goal attempt. This was one of the all-time national TV blooper moments for the NFL in recent history. If you're Younghoe Koo, I think you have to just leave the country and go live in a, I don't know, in a, like a, some village where no one knows where you are somewhere, some cave.
No, or internet, no Wi-Fi, yeah, you know, no TV.
You just move to West Virginia and you get like a house in the woods that doesn't have electricity.
Tell Bob your name is Steve and you're just happy to be here.
You can never get on the internet again after this.
I mean, wow.
Because the memes are, Toby's still making memes probably. Younghoe Koo, who missed 9 times last year for the Falcons, right? Then he misses to start this season, so they finally cut him. This was one of the best kickers in the league a couple years ago.
At one point, hyper accurate, yeah.
The Giants never ask him to kick, but he's 4-for-4 when he's kicked for them, when he hasn't stubbed his toe accidentally. But he, for those of you that didn't see it, is approaching the ball on a chip shot field goal last night and just, like, jams his foot into the ground 18 inches from the football. What happened, he said after the game, was that he saw the holder, who's their punter, move the ball, which did happen, slightly. And I guess it threw off his timing, and he paused, and that was like his mechanism to slow the whole thing down, was just to jam his foot into the ground. But, man, was it weird looking. This was Younghoe Koo last night. Did we not have that? Okay, so don't worry about it. But, the man, was that field goal attempt embarrassing.
I can't imagine the steps that led up to it. Like, brain malfunction, short out, then a follow-up short out, then a follow-up malfunction. And even still, you would just kick the ball badly. And then just kind of go, oh, my God, what did I do? Like, it'd be like a basketball player at the free throw line that would take the ball from the referee and just sort of lay it down on the ground and look at it. And then the 10 seconds expires, you just walked away. Utterly bizarre. I have not seen anything like that in all my time watching sports. I've seen terrible kicks where guys were freaked out, or the run up was bad because the timing was messed up because the hold was muffed or the snap was off, so the mechanism went bad, and they've still sort of like not known what to do. This is just sort of half step, attack the ground violently with my right foot, and then just kind of slowly limp away in pretend anxiety.
Troy Aikman was belly laughing.
I mean, it was so bad.
At the slow motion replay. He could not stop himself from laughing at, not really with, just at what had just happened. I mean, it's crazy. The comp I have is, you see this rarely, but like a pitcher in baseball who throws 15 feet above the catcher, like to the top of the screen, or when a pitcher slips and falls pitching, or just something that is so amateur that you go, a guy in the crowd would have done that. How does a big league pitcher do that in that moment? I think we have the audio now.
Whoops. I guess that goes down as a miss. I don't know. He never touched the ball. Gillen then got pounded.
Aikman is cracking up. I mean, it was wild.
I've never seen that.
And that was probably the most embarrassing thing that happened for the Giants last night, but it narrowly edges out another candidate. Their number 3 overall pick, their first round pick, Abdul Carter, who I'm shocked by this because I thought he was going to wreck the league. He has 1.5 sacks so far in 13 games. For the second time in 3 games since Kafka's taken over for Daboll as their head coach, they benched him to start the game based on presumably being late to or missing meetings. So last time he missed a drive, this time he missed a whole quarter. Clearly, the memo did not get through. But that's two out of his last three were DNP. Early. First quarter, first drive, coach's decision. He hasn't been on the field. And then after the game, the media is asking him about it, and he says, S happens. I'm not going into it. S happens. Like, this is going terribly.
Yes, it is. It's going very poorly.
By the way, he got his first full sack of the season last night in Week 13 on a play that really wasn't even a sack. It was like a Drake Mays climbing the pocket, going back, and runs for zero. That was the big flash moment for him so far this year.
It has been a disaster. I mean, you see this with the Wizards all the time, where they would draft objectively a good player. I remember going to they were then the Bullets, but they drafted Rasheed Wallace, who had gone to an unbelievable career. And I remember before the game, everybody was working on their stuff and, you know, going through the motions. He was shooting hook shots from 60 feet. Like, that's what he was doing. Everyone else was, like, getting their sweat in, their pregame shoot around, like, getting shots from where I would get him in the game, working pick and roll, post-ups, turnarounds. He was shooting hook shots from 60 feet away. Nobody said anything to him. And I went, maybe the culture is bad. Maybe at some point, someone should go, you know, grab him by the lapel, go fix this, do something different. We're trying to be serious here. But they weren't serious then, and that's what's going on with the Giants now. There's a couple of guys that are trying to, you know, be the lead geese through the breach, right? Scataboo and Jackson Dart, follow us. And everyone else is kind of a goofball, and nobody's really has the authority to do anything. Other than, well, I guess he won't play for a quarter. Like, no one's getting through to that guy. And obviously a lot of it's on him too, but it just seems to be a terrible culture, a terrible time in New York. A place that I used to think of was pretty stable, even when they weren't winning.
Well, they've been terrible for years.
This has now been almost, you know, a decade and a half where they can't get right.
Yeah, no, they stink. They need to probably blow out their GM now, Joe Shane. We'll get more intel, I'm sure, on Hard Knocks in the weeks ahead on that. But, yeah, Abdul Carter, 1.5 sacks. Can't start because he can't make meetings. And this was him after the game.
Was it justified with the benching?
Yeah, I mean, I let my team down today. First two drives, I was out. They scored 17 points. I take responsibility for that. I got to be out there. I got to do better.
That's pretty good there. I mean, he was willing to kind of wear it. But yeah, entertaining game overall, even though it wasn't that close. Last thing, we talked yesterday about the MVP race and the fact that May could help himself. Before the game, Matt Stafford was the favorite, and now Drake May is the MVP favorite again. Right now, he's on pace to, and I don't do quarterback wins, but I found this stat interesting nonetheless, even though I don't think the win percentage is a May stat. But he is on pace to be the fourth quarterback ever, Danny, to lead the NFL in win percentage, completion percentage, passing yards, and quarterback rating in the same season. The other guys did it. It was Otto Graham in 1953 as a 32-year-old, Kurt Warner in 2001 as a 30-year-old, Tom Brady in 2007 as a 30-year-old, and 23-year-old Drake May right now.
How about that?
Would be the fourth quarterback in the group. So he's putting together a hell of a resume as it pertains to hunting down the MVP award.
He's been fantastic. There's no way around that. The growth, the going back to pre-draft, the thing that I kind of went, give me Daniels over May, was simply because so you'd have one out of every, whatever you want to call it, 25, 30, 40 throws where you'd go, what are you doing? Like, his feet were all weird, and he's throwing it to either, like, someone, like the popcorn guy in the 10th row, or a defender, or, like, he missed a screen by 10 yards. All of that stuff has been cleaned up, and the athleticism, the ability to throw from all kinds of different arm angles, the way he moves around, he is splendid.
Huge, big arm, accurate.
Yep.
Total package for the Patriots right now. Talking of Jaden Daniels, though, let's get back into Washington's franchise quarterback and whether or not he's going to play this week against Minnesota. The Commanders are getting ready to go to the Vikings. Do we think Daniels plays? Last week, we thought he was going to. Do we still feel that way? It's starting to trend. It feels like the momentum might be in the other direction. So let's get into that next. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. Sunday, the Commanders are at the Vikings in Minnesota, and so are me and Danny. The GND radio show, Darius is accompanying us. You can't go on a road trip without Dad leading the way. That's what I've always said.
Now, is Darius going to get his haircut before we go?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because Darius, last time he didn't, and he was all fatutsed about it.
And this is about as long as I've ever seen his hair. I'm going to say he's already got a appointment to get his hair done before we leave.
I'm going to say he doesn't yet, but plans to.
Wow. Danny knows his guy. Man, I'm disappointed.
I knew better, if I'm being honest.
He's not an amateur procrastinator. He's a pro.
Right. There's no chance you were like way ahead of the game on the haircut, but I just wanted to give you the benefit of the doubt.
I do plan to schedule the appointment, but it won't be until I'll be scheduling it for Friday morning, I think.
But you said last time that you were going to get your haircut and then something happened and you couldn't get in.
Yeah.
That doesn't
yeah.
scare you a little bit into maybe making an appointment this time?
Nah, I'm feeling confident.
Okay.
I'm feeling good.
And what are you going to tell him when you sit down in the chair?
That's right. Keep it dark. And cut the sides low and keep the top dark. That's what I say.
If someone said that to me,
yeah,
I would have no idea what to do. I'll be like, am I dying this? What is that? Is he want me to dye like a couple of white hairs in his head?
Just for men time? What are we doing?
Yeah.
No, we're just keeping the top dark. We don't want to shave it all the way down.
Now, just imagine you were talking to a 46-year-old white who didn't understand what you're saying.
Sure.
Could you explain that?
If you sit down in Danny's chair, what are you saying to him?
Yeah. I would ask you if you knew what it meant to keep it dark.
And I'd go, no.
And then I'd be completely lost because I don't know what else I would say.
You would go to a different barbershop.
Probably. I probably would.
Yeah, my barbershop wouldn't do. But what does that mean? Like a certain length?
Yeah.
So there's still a shadow?
It's a length indicator. Right. Yeah, I don't want to basically be like.
Like if you see scalp, it's because scalp is lighter than your regular.
Correct, yes. So this would allow there to be more hair up top. Yeah, but not as much as there currently is.
So what I would say.
Yeah,
I'm got a little and, off
and
the
I'm,
top,
and
please.
I'm admitting that
Make
I'm
sure
terrible.
I can style it.
I'm terrible at this barbershop thing.
Right.
Like, the bane of my existence is going to the barbershop.
But I'm saying,
I hate it.
In my situation,
go for it.
What I would give a number with clippers.
Yeah, see, I've never done that.
So I would say like, I want two on the sides with a four on the top or whatever it is.
I don't know what that means.
It's
so that's
the
length
of
the clipper?
Yes. You're calling it length, I believe. It's the length of the clipper, exactly.
Yeah, of
right.
the Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah. So if you want the length of the Keon Dooling, you just tell them that, and now they know how long it's supposed to be.
Wow. That's fascinating. That's news to me.
They'll go into their drawer. They'll open it up. There's a bunch of DeAndre Jordans laying there, and they'll pick out the one that's the correct length, and then they'll just use it.
How many different Bradley Bills are there? I just don't. Like, are there a lot of options?
There's more than you think.
I think there's probably 8 to 10 different lengths that you could use.
Okay. There's your standard 1 through like 10, 11, 12. Then you get like the half guard type situations. Then you get the ones that are just going over the ear.
Don't forget the Chris Kaman that's always like completely
right.
Like only for the back of the head.
Yes.
Is that the one you're referencing?
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
That's a wacky joke. Uh-huh. Yeah. So anyway, so I can't wait to see your haircut or you on the air, just crestfallen on the airplane that you didn't get a haircut because you showed up on Friday.
But it's different than being like he's embarrassed in a way.
He's bothered.
It's just because I know I'm going to show up in pictures and stuff. I'll be on your, you know, you guys' Instagram and things like that. Kondori Morad's Instagram. Like, I want to look presentable.
Well, can't wait. Minnesota's going to be freezing cold. Got the email last night from our guy, Wasim. So we're ready to go. It sounds like we've got some surprises planned. There are 3 different activities on Saturday that are a few hours apart.
So much room for activities.
With such specific times as well, the time frame for them.
That's the thing. Let me look at this email here. Travel itinerary. Okay, it says, additionally, we have a few events planned for you guys for Saturday at 1 p.m., 4 p.m., and 7 p.m. What could
such
it be?
Such a good bit.
I mean, it's great, but like 3 hours apart, that's a day.
So one of the, that's a lot of activities.
One of those has to be a meal.
One I'm betting is a Juicy Lucy situation.
That would be great.
The others, I can't imagine what they are. Ice skating? Are we going bowling?
I'm going to say it's not ice skating, but it's a good guess. We're also been told to dress warm.
Yeah.
So that's could be a hint. Are we going to axe throw? Maybe the boys are going to be axe throwing.
How about this one? The Timberwolves play the Clippers at 8 o'clock on Saturday. That's 7 o'clock that time.
Oh, I would be butt-sized. If we're going to the Clippers, no less, after all the shtick
after all the Clipper
doing,
talk?
I would be steamed.
Get to see John Collins in person?
Yeah, that would be good. If we end up seeing the Wolves and the Clippers, I'd be psyched for that. Here's the better question, though. When we go to the Commanders football game that we're going there for on Sunday, which is at noon local, and they play the Vikings and Brian Flores' blitz-happy defense, will Jaden Daniels be at quarterback? Last week, all week, I assumed that he would be. My guess was yes. I am leaving open the possibility to change my mind as we get more information. But Danny, right now, this second, if you made me bet on Daniels starting or not starting, I'm going to say Jaden Daniels does not play on Sunday. That Adam Schefter report from this past Sunday morning, just a couple of days ago, spooked me a little bit. Where he comes out, and he talks about how he was limited all week and the team is not guaranteeing that he'll be back this week and he still hasn't been cleared for contact, which, by the way, as we sit here and talk, closing in on 2:40 on Tuesday afternoon, to our knowledge, he has not been cleared for contact. Unless that happens tomorrow, I think it starts to trend toward he comes back to go to the Meadowlands and play on that gross turf against the Giants for the first time since he got hurt against the Seahawks. So right now, this second, I say no Jaden Daniels on Sunday.
And I get that. I know they're living – well, let me say I know is probably strong – the feeling that I get trying to read the tea leaves and interpret the various open-ended phrasing and kind of their hiding behind, all of their return to plays and the cliches that they use, they're leaving the door open, this is my view, that he might not play instead of making it definitive. We're targeting Sunday. We hope he's going to play Sunday. They're never going to do that. They just won't give me the thing that I want, which is fine. They're not required to. So I'm left to do this, and we're going to ask questions every week. We're going to do this Willie won't he dance all the damn time. But I think they're leaving the door open so that in case certain metrics, whatever they are not met, they can say, no, we never confirmed. You can't be disappointed. You're not allowed to be upset because we never actually said he's playing Sunday. I think he's going to. But that's not based on my confidence level went from 85, 90% down to like 51.5. Like it's way closer to a coin toss now because I think they're purposely, I think you're reading the same thing I am, leaving the door open for him not to play.
But he's not cleared for contact yet.
Right.
If he gets cleared for contact on Friday, he's playing Sunday, you think? Now, I know that in practice, you don't deal with contact anyway.
Well, you're not hitting him anyway, but
so
no, but the point stands.
It's not like it would matter, but I feel like I asked Logan this on our new episode of Take Command. Essentially, does it matter to you as a player mentally getting over whatever hurdles there are if you're cleared now as opposed to the end of the week? And he said for him it did because he liked to be cleared earlier in the week because, like, let's say he had – I mean, this is also just a Logan who's a bit of a crazy guy. But he had a sprained AC joint. He's going to go out and just ram into someone at a million miles an hour and practice with his shoulder to make sure it's okay. If he's got a jammed finger, he's going to go like bang it against pads.
Yeah, that's how he checks it.
He's just making sure no matter what happens in the game, it's going to be okay. I'm going to take 100 balls off the jugs machine harder than they would come at me in the game to make sure that I get all the pain out, basically. And so that's how some guys are. They want to go through everything. I know at quarterback, there's only so much contact he's going to take on anyway.
Friday would be more precarious. So right now, though,
you're betting he plays.
That would, if I had to. Again, I'm not confident in that. I was confident, but then same thing. I saw the same thing you did with the Schefter report. I'm kind of going, they're definitely leaving the door open. In fact, ushering new wind in the room with the door wide open for him not to play.
So last week, all week, I was like, yeah, he's going. He'll be back for the Minnesota game. And now I'm skeptical. I actually want to take calls on this and open up the phones. 800-636-1067 is the number if you want to give us a shout. 800-636-1067. Do you think Jaden Daniels returns and plays against the Vikings on the road? We could also get into the landing spot. It's a much easier matchup a week later against the Giants in that defense if you can avoid the blitz-happy Vikings and Flores who are coming off of a strong defensive game. I thought they played maybe their best game up front defensively against Sam Darnold in Seattle. So could you maybe try to avoid them and just give him a better matchup to come back and get some confidence with in a week? That's a possibility. We'll take calls on that next. 800-636-1067. Really quickly, someone just tweeted me. I'm at Grant H. Paulson on Twitter and Instagram. This is a listener here, and he says, the activity could be ice fishing. By the way, I would be psyched. I don't know why. God, I hope it is. Like, that's a random thing, and I doubt it is. But I'm not joking. That would be like a top 10 thing I've ever done. If we go ice fishing in Minnesota.
Like, we have a guide who cuts a hole in the ice.
Correct.
And we're just sitting around in easy chairs with.
We're just dropping a string and trying to pull fish up. I'm not even doing a bit. That would be the coolest thing I've done in a long time. Ice fishing?
Ice fishing.
Who has gone ice fishing?
I have not.
Of course you have.
I have not.
That would be insane. How cool would that be?
That would be something I get to say that I've done.
Now I'm now rooting for ice fishing. With all apologies to whatever the actual activities are, which are going to be a blast. They're batting 1,000. We had a great trip to Cincinnati. But ice fishing? That's so cool.
But is there enough of a window to do that? Each thing is 3 hours apart.
How long do you ice fish?
I don't know.
I think that's our 4 p.m. activity.
Well, it's not like you're going down the street. Like, we're on half street. It's not like you go two blocks over and you're on ice to fish.
Is one of them a meal is the question.
It's got to be.
So 1 o'clock, Juicy Lucy. 4 o'clock, ice fishing. 7 o'clock, let's hoop.
So I think meal, mystery box at 4. That's the mystery one. 7, I sort of feel like it's a Timberwolves situation.
I would love that. Now, last time in Cincinnati, we did a ballpark tour. Target Field in Minneapolis. I don't know if they do ballpark tours in the frigid cold, but is that something? Maybe a 1 o'clock Target Field, 4 o'clock Juicy Lucy, 7 o'clock Timberwolves. But then when do we ice fish? I guess
When is ice fishing?
How could we possibly ice fish at that point? Is Jaden Daniels going to play? Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
Yeah! I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Thank you for making the show part of your day. We'll give you our fastest 16 minutes covering all the NFL games of Week 13 coming up at 3. And at 4 o'clock, we've got Leonard Skinner tickets for you here on The Fan. 5 o'clock on G&D today, Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt stops by our conversation with Bill a little over 2 hours from right now. Hard Knocks tonight. Looking forward to seeing the Commanders in the NFC East under the bright lights of HBO's terrific show, but we're talking about Commanders-Vikings and whether or not we see Jaden Daniels return on Sunday. I was convinced when we heard he was back at practice to start last week that by this coming weekend, he would be playing again. But because he was limited all week, because he still has not been cleared for contact, I am no longer confident, and I would now bet on him not playing, barring something changing between now and Sunday pretty significantly. Danny's still holding out hope and thinks that he will play.
Yeah, this is not a lot of conviction, though. What percentage-wise, what were you at last week?
When he came back to the practice field to start the week, 80%?
Yeah. I was 80, 85, somewhere in there.
Now I'm like 35%.
Okay. I'm just a hair over 50, so 50.1. It feels like they are absolutely making sure that nobody could call them a liar or get mad if he doesn't play. It's like they've set the stage for them to make that call and to pull the ripcord to make sure that you know we're doing another week. But it still feels like when he came back to practice and was able to practice in full last week, I know they did that for 1 week previously with somebody, I'm blanking on who it was, where he was able to practice in full, but they said, no, we're going to wait another week. Totally fine, because they didn't go back on their word. But it still felt like they were gearing up for this week, and it was never about Denver. Maybe that's my wish casting on it, but again, there's a coin toss chance to me that he doesn't play as well.
Let's go to Shane in Virginia, wants to hop in. Shane, is he going to play in Minnesota?
Commander Danny, Lieutenant Grant, how you boys doing today?
Somebody.
Doing very well, sir.
I believe he should play, but I don't think he's going to play. What's the point? I mean, no, I don't think he's going to play. I mean, I know Terry played, and but I think that right now we need to rest Daniels, but who knows what they're going to do? I mean, with this organization right now, I believe he needs to get out there. I think he needs to go out there and play and see what we're working with still. He's still got the injured bug from last year and this year, even in college too. Don't forget about that. But I just want to see if he's still the future of this team right now. And that's I know everybody's given the key to the city already, but let's see what he can do on and get out there. I know he's got the talent. But, look, you can have all the talent in the world if you can't get on the field. But let's see. I mean, I wouldn't blame. I totally wouldn't. Right now, no. There's no point. What's the benefit?
Appreciate you,
Shane. Thanks, buddy.
You're answering, I think, a different question than we're asking, frankly. You're answering the question, would you play him if he was healthy? Which, we're not asking that because he's going to play when he's healthy, and he should. We asked that a few weeks ago. I'm kind of past it and over it. I don't understand the people that don't think he should play. I think it's silly. If he's healthy, he's a football player. Herm Edwards told you, football players play football, especially young ones that need to develop and need time on the grass. But you're answering, I wouldn't play him. quite literally, the question right now is he going to be cleared? Physically, is he going to be able to play? If he's cleared, there's not a, is there a benefit? Do they want to play him against the Vikings? No. He has not been cleared for contact yet. So that's the question, is just, is he going to be ready to return by Sunday? If he is, then he's going to be playing in the game. If that doesn't happen until next Wednesday, then he won't play until he takes on the Giants. Shane mentioned, you know, college. He did get banged up a few times. I remember him leaving the Alabama game with a concussion as an example. But he started 55 games over 4+ seasons in college. And the only year where he really missed a bunch of games was COVID.
COVID time.
And that was when they shut it down, I think, a month into the year. So he only played 4 games that year. But otherwise, in 4 seasons, he played 12, 13, 14, and 12 games, which I'd imagine is every single one of the games for Arizona State and LSU. So while he may have gotten banged up and taken some big hits and gone to the blue tent or whatever during games, I don't know that he missed time. I mean, there weren't really injuries throughout his time in college.
No, it wasn't like this, certainly. But this was always kind of on the table, given the frame. We've kind of gone through that a lot. But, yeah, I mean, to me, this is one of those, if anybody in the room, like let's say there's 10 people, 10 experts, and my 9th expert goes, I'm not so sure, because right then I'm shutting him down. I think that's kind of the point of the conversation you and I always try to hammer, meaning if he's not 100% able to protect himself, there's no favoring anything, there's no compromise type deal where he's got to, you know, make sure he's compensating and we're worried about something else then happening because of it. If there's any doubt, he's not playing. The instant he's ready to go, he's going to go. And that's what we're debating right now, is do we think he's actually ready?
Well, and is he going to be cleared for contact is the question. If he's cleared for contact Friday, do they play him Sunday or do they wait until the following week to let him take on whatever very limited controlled contact there is in a practice? You're listening to Grant and Danny. We'll go around the league with our fastest 16 minutes. In a moment at 3:25, we'll give you the State of the Union on Terry McLaurin coming off of a huge game. Where is the fan base on this team's number one wide receiver after his biggest game of the year? This is The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.